Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Because the whole world gone crazy!
Yeah, you want to see crazy? I'll tell you.
Have you gone mad?
Most everyone's mad here.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Milkshakes, Markets, Madness. Now before we kick off this episode, I have a little bit of housekeeping to do. We are about to record the Madness Edition. So one of the things I want you to keep in mind is we are extremely sensitive and respectful of people's time on YouTube, podcasts, etc., especially with this channel. And so one of the things that we decided to do when we began recording more content for the channel was to break things into segments so that people weren't, you know, checking into a video and basically going down a rabbit hole that wasn't really of interest to them. So our full length episode is really core to how we started this whole channel. It's the deeper dives, it's the 30 minute plus conversations with a heavy focus on markets. And in fact, all of our videos are pretty much heavily focused on markets. And in some weeks we're posting six videos. At 6 out of 7 days, you're getting content from us. The one video a week that is a little off the rails and really kind of goes to what we thought would have been the core of this show is this video. It's the Madness Edition. So if you're looking for straight market talk and you don't want two finance bros blabbering about sports or politics or conspiracy theories, then please don't watch this segment. We'd rather you not downvote it. We'd rather you not leave a comment of how you don't like it. Just don't watch it. We respect your time. We know your time is valuable, and we know this might not jive with you, but this is kind of a time for us to kind of have fun with one another, and certainly with you guys, about all the crazy stuff that's going on in the world. And you know, one of the things that's been crazy for 2 decades now, Brent, and it kind of came and went this week, is the remembrance and or anniversary of 9/11. Now, so much goes into 9/11, the emotion, the politics, the geopolitics, the conspiracies. Where do you want to kind of start talking about this? Because I think 9/11 is something that we should definitely start this conversation with.
Yeah, you know, I think like everybody, you know, it's a very, very anybody who was living in America, you know, 22 years ago when it happened, it's just one of those things where you'll just never forget it. And what I kind of found interesting, though, to be really honest, John, is I kind of felt like over the last 5 years, people had kind of started to forget it. Not forget it totally, but they didn't, I don't know, harp on it as much when it came around. And there weren't as many ceremonies and remembrances, you know, and I'm thinking this is like, you know, 2018, 19, and 20. But I noticed like last year and this year, I felt anyway, that there was more, I don't know, notice given to it and more people talking about it and more like official stuff, you know, like when Aaron Rodgers came running out on the field with the flag and, you know, all that stuff. And I kind of thought that was interesting that it's kind of started to pop back up. And maybe this is just my perception and I have it totally wrong, but I kind of found that interesting. And for me, you know, 9/11 was really kind of the red pill that got me kind of thinking differently. Because probably like many people, and you know, this is my wife and I talk about this often, is that like I almost like just gave up my job and went and joined the military. I came very close to doing it. I really considered it. I don't know that I actually came close to doing it, but I really considered it. And I was really struggling with what I should do. In hindsight, I think that would have been the worst thing I ever could have done, and I'm very glad I didn't do it. But I gave it serious consideration. And what I think so interesting now, you know, 22 years down the road, is when you saw what happened after 9/11 and the decisions that were made and they used 9/11 as the reason for it, that's what really kind of started to open my eyes probably and to look at the world a little bit differently and perhaps look at our own country and our own role in the world a little differently. And so that's what 9/11 is to me now, you know, whether it's, you know, they decided to go into Iraq rather than where the, you know, the terrorists were actually at. And then they, you know, Colin Powell at the United Nations giving that presentation that turned out to be a sham and, you know, all this kind of, you know, that was just kind of the beginning of it. And, you know, so, and it was probably, it was for me, it was probably the start of the distrust of government. Maybe I had a little bit of it before, but that's probably really, really when it kicked into to high gear. And maybe I'm guessing, but maybe other people kind of had that experience too, that that's what kind of made them start to question official narratives or motives. And so, and look where we're at now. Now, nobody believes anything the government says, which you, on the one hand, maybe that's a good thing, right? But I think that the bad thing is if the government ever does do something good, now we're so used to just not believing them that it's you get a little bit of the boy that cried wolf syndrome, right? And so I think that for me is probably the domino that started the big distrust. And now here we are where it's hard to trust anything they say.
Yeah, there's so much to unpack with what you said and just the event overall, but not only is the basket of lies, I mean, there's so many well done, you know, 9/11 truther videos, and you can go down those rabbit holes, but for me, it's just building number 7. That to me is just, there's so much silliness, and then you can obviously go into the lack of debris and all these other things around the Pentagon crash. I think it was last year, sometimes time flies, but we went back to visit my family and I, we went back to visit where my dad grew up. He just turned 90. There's a whole bunch of other things that were around that trip. It was an incredible experience, but he grew up in an old mining town in Central City, Pennsylvania, and it's just outside of Shanksville. So we visited that memorial, and there's just something about it that just felt off. And there's all kinds of issues with that event as well. But then you look at some of the things you pointed out, what the actions they then took. We had the unbridled support of the entire world after 9/11. Oh, yeah. And we ruined it. We wasted it with these proxy wars that just didn't matter. And everybody could see that. And at the same time, a lot of our freedoms were stolen under the disguise of terrorism. And now you have a situation here where you look at, and this isn't about where your politics lie, but if you can't see that the justice system is being weaponized against someone like Trump, and then you have recently there was an interview I think it was at the G20 summit, you know, Putin making a comment of like, now the skillful demise and this corruption that exists in the US, which has been kind of hidden by a veil, is now on plain display. And it does feel like it's hard to believe looking back that it's been 20 years of this slow kind of corrosion, you know, and rot that's in the US. Now, you mentioned it feels like there's kind of a resurgence of remembrance. I wonder if two things. Number one, inflation. People are really, really suffering. And where else do you point but to the government forced lockdowns? People are physically suffering. A lot of it has to do with forced vaccination. And at the same time, you do have, for you specifically, I guess, a lot of the conversations and engagement that you're involved in, particularly the last couple of years, is Twitter. And Twitter was one big censorship platform over that time frame. So I'm wondering if you feel like, you know, the truth is starting to leak out in its own way, or if people are just pissed off and using 9/11 again as a point of reference.
You know, it's a good question. It's hard to say, but for me, it was very clear that it was much more prominent this year and last year than it was maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And again, maybe that's just my perception, but you know, I think there is some truth to it that as you know, when things are going well, little problems don't bother you. But when things start going poorly, everything bothers you, no matter how small. You know, I don't know if you've ever been on a sports team, but you know, when you're winning, everybody's fine. Even the guys you don't really like, you get along with them. But man, you lose a few games and you start looking at that guy across the bench a little differently than you did before. And you know, they're not quite pulling their weight. So I think there is a little bit about that. For me, the whole thing with 9/11, the best way I describe my attitude towards it is that it was definitely an eye-opening experience for me. It changed my perception of the world. Some people might say for the worse. I think it was for the better. And I don't know what happened. But all I know is the official story doesn't tell the whole truth, right? I'm not smart enough to know what happened and why it happened. I just don't buy the official narrative. And I think that attitude kind of permeates into everything now. And I think other people are starting to feel that now. And again, it's not that the government is lying about absolutely everything. It's just that they've lied about enough that it makes you question everything, right? And that's, you know, it's like when somebody lies to you, it takes a long time to get your trust back, you know? And so that's where it's kind of at for me. But anyway, it's obviously a sad day. And, you know, I was with somebody on Wednesday. I was at a conference and, you know, he had five friends who had died in the tower. And, you know, you could just still see the raw emotion on his face. And, you know, it's just one of those things that's always going to be with us, anybody who lived through it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I don't think we want to go too much deeper down this rabbit hole, but even I think it was this week, there was the Kennedy assassination became a conversation again, and the whole Warren Commission and the magic bullet. I guess there was some declassified information. I mean, so it's not like, you know, we're not used to the government lying to us, but I feel like they've gotten away with just these classified stories, you know, creating a prevailing narrative and then just moving on from there. So it does feel like maybe we have become numb to it. And to your analogy, you know, maybe as a sports team, we're not winning as much anymore, and we're starting to notice where the problems are in the organization, whether it's the head office, the coach.
Yeah.
But you know what was interesting too, in terms of maybe egregious foreign policy and abuse of power, is we had a meeting this week between Putin and Kim Jong-un. So are our actions on the global stage starting to push two of the world's biggest psychopaths together? Is this another consequence of our global policy?
Well, I think that argument could be made. And, you know, you kind of alluded to this, you know, but after 9/11, how much we had the world on our side. And one of the pictures I remember from that time was, I think two ships passed each other in the ocean. And I think one of them was if I remember right, it was a German ship, or could have been a British ship or something. And they all, you know, all of the other countries, you know, sailors were all on deck in their finest uniforms, and they flew an American flag, you know, and stood in salute as they passed the American ship. And, you know, that just kind of said it all. And now, you know, 20 years later, you know, we've kind of got this quote unquote rise of the BRICS and the global South, and, you know, this de-dollarization, and they want to, you know, dethrone dollar hegemony and U.S. hegemony. And they're tired of having the U.S. be the global bully. And so you are seeing these, you know, these attempts at least to kind of push back against U.S. foreign policy. And, you know, I've been pretty vocal about my belief on the desire is absolutely there. Now, whether they have the ability, I think that's a completely different topic. But with, you know, and I think, you know, Putin and Kim Jong-un meeting is a perfect example of that. However, I will say, John, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but I have this is my own personal conspiracy theory with regard to North Korea. This is one of my favorite ones, you know. And that is that I don't know that I buy that North Korea is its own sovereign independent country. I kind of think it's a puppet government, and that the U.S. kind of controls it, to be honest. And part of the reason is because, you know, I guess it was kind of in the early to mid 80s, North Korea was the stronger country and South Korea was having all of these problems. And then through, you know, kind of in the late 80s, early 90s, that's when South Korea kind of started to reform, and, you know, they instituted a bunch of, you know, capitalistic, I guess, policies, for lack of a better word. And they kind of became this, you know, economic tiger and grew a lot. And at the same time, you know, North Korea had typically been aligned with Russia. But what happened at the end of the 80s and early 90s, you know, the Soviet Union fell apart. And so there was a brief period of time, I don't know, let's call it 91 to 94, where, you know, the Soviet Union was kind of on the ropes and a lot of the satellite countries were kind of up for grabs. And that's about the same time that Kim Jong-un's father ascended to the throne, you know, from his father, who would, I think Kim Jong-il's father was the longest serving dictator, or one of the longest serving dictators in history. So anyway, It's right around that time, early 90s, where Kim Jong-il comes to power and everything's really rough. The economy's bad. He doesn't have his protector, you know, in the Soviet Union anymore. I just kind of think that maybe the U.S. went in there and said, hey, we'll help you out. We'll help you become this cult of personality. You know, we'll help you keep the citizens under your thumb. We'll give you some technology, but you really kind of answered us. And part of the reason I say that is, you know, all these missile launches, these tests that they shoot into the Sea of Japan, and it's like, come on, really? And I mean, over and I mean, just pull up a picture of these guys, not just Kim Jong-un, but the guys that he's like bossing around. It's like Keystone Cops. And listen, the other thing, it just so happens that North Korea is known for having the best counterfeit $100 bills in the world. Now, why does North Korea happen to have these plates that almost match perfectly to the U.S., you know, plates that they print the $100 bills with? So anyway, that's my conspiracy theory. People are going to think I'm crazy, but I'm sticking to it.
That's some serious madness, man. Woo! So do you think his son, the current dictator, Kim Jong-un, is not cooperating with the puppet government agreements? Or do you think this is
I think maybe he's a double agent, right? He's, you know, he's going around meeting with Xi and meeting with Putin, but in the end, he reports back to the CIA or whoever it is.
Man, we need a new Austin Powers.
That's a pretty good theory though, right? Come on, you got to give it to me. That's a pretty good conspiracy theory.
I was just going to say, you keep working on your dollar milkshake theory. I'm going to start working on a movie script. So you could see why everybody who's still with us, why we prefaced, this is not about markets. This is about Brent's kooky conspiracy theories, although I love them. And we won't get into it now, but I think Brent and I both share a bit of a fascination with flat earth theory. So,
we'll have to get into that one at some point.
So don't unsubscribe. We're just here for fun. Well, look, before we wrap up this madness edition, mentioning, considering this has been generally a political theme discussion, the recent Biden impeachment. And speaking of puppet governments and conspiracies, it definitely feels like a planned impeachment almost too, because now you have a lot of the liberal medias jumping on this and saying, oh, bad man Biden. And it's like, well, all this information's been there the whole time. So it feels very much like, well, we're never going to win a re-election with this guy. He can't even walk straight, talk straight. So let's join the impeachment party. What are your thoughts on the recent, well, at least threat of impeachment?
Well, I mean, to me, it's just the natural progression of everything, you know. Again, whether you like Trump, whether you hate Trump, whether you think he's a criminal or whether you think he's the greatest president in history, it doesn't change the fact that the other side went at him very hard. They impeached him. They impeached him basically based on a phone call and where they felt that he was overstepping his political authority with someone in the Ukraine. And listen, they had enough people in power in the government to impeach him, and they did it. And, you know, when you do that, you have to, and this is the problem with political precedent, is you have to expect that it's going to happen again down the road, and your party might not be in power. And that's exactly what's happened here, right? Now the other party's in power, and they want to impeach Biden based on his, you know, dealings with his son doing business in Ukraine. And people will say, well, there's no proof. Well, you know, there's just as much proof that Biden was involved with his son and, you know, doing undue influence as there was with Trump with, you know, the phone call to I don't remember who it was in Ukraine that he was speaking to. And so again, is there absolute 100% proof? No, but was there absolute 100% proof? But there's just as much evidence. I mean, there's literally wire transfers that are on record, right? And there's, you know, phone logs where, you know, Biden was involved in the phone calls. And so there's at least enough stuff to, if you thought there was at least enough stuff to investigate into Trump, there's at least enough stuff to investigate under Biden now. And what happens, you know, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But to me, I've said this many times, I think both sides are completely corrupt. I think both sides are equally, you know, whatever you want to call it, shameful, shameless, whatever the right word to say. And this is just the natural progression of where it's going. And, you know, I've said this before, I think next year is just going to be absolutely crazy politically. And what goes on with the election, I don't think, whatever happens with the election, I don't think the other side will accept the outcome. And so, you know, I think this is just part of it. We could have two. What would be amazing if somehow Biden got impeached but was still the president, and we had two, and those were the two impeached presidents running for the next president. That would be something. That would be madness.
Well, it is the madness segment, and you have referenced a couple times now the fact that one of your biggest concerns is next year's election just won't be honored by either side. And we started the conversation out talking about 9/11, the impact, kind of the residue, the distrust that that has created. And, you know, what, regardless of what side of the political spectrum you lean on, I think one of the things that for me, I'm hoping maybe my optimistical outlook on this is that there's what we've learned from 9/11 and even all the shenanigans in politics the last handful of years is that one thing is you can't really stop the madness. The reform needs to come from the ones who are actually causing the chaos and are breaking these laws and are corrupt. So we can sit here and talk about we have the power to vote different people in, and we should push for that change and not give Pelosi any more time in Congress. But at the same time, you maybe just be awake, right? I think that's a cliched term, but you know, things like 9/11 and all the stuff that's led up to where we are today, the COVID lockdowns, the crazy political shenanigans, both and puppet governments like North Korea and even puppet governments here in the US, is understand what's going on. Understand that generally they're probably not making decisions with your best interest, but don't go storm the Capitol. Right. Don't go lose your mind and get all worked up. And that's just my take on it. I think we do need revolutionaries. We do need people who are angry and leading the charge, but don't at the same time lose your mind over it. Because that's really, I think, what in government, sometimes these people are trying to do. They're trying to get you worked up and get you out of your
totally level. I mean, and I guarantee there's some people listening now that are saying, it's the Republicans that are worse. And there's other people that are listening saying, I guarantee the Democrats are worse. And this is fair play to turn around. And listen, again, I'm not going to make a judgment call either way, but I think it is important to kind of step back and look and see that the country is very divided. The country is very, very, there's kind of like battle lines that have been drawn, right? And I just encourage people to kind of step back and figure out a way to talk to the other side. Because if you don't talk to the other side, you're probably going to end up fighting with the other side. So anyway, I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. And nothing good comes from that. So well, look, everybody, we appreciate you. The Madness Edition. Give it a thumbs up. Come join us for the next time we do the Madness segment. And then speaking of that, we have a schedule posted on the YouTube channel about section. So I won't bore you with the full breakdown, but generally, you shouldn't be surprised about what's being posted. Every video has its own thumbnail, so it's very, very clear. Normally, we're posting this type of segment on a Friday. Because of recording times and whatnot, I think I'm going to hold off and maybe post this at the beginning of next week. But either way, make sure you're chiming into the content that you want and you get the most benefit from. That's why we've created those segments. And we'll leave it at that. You can follow Brent on Twitter. If you don't already know who he is and all the fun and craziness and madness he's creating on Twitter, you can follow him there at Santiago AU Fund. You can find me at John Katsumita. You can find this show at milkshakespod.com. You can find milkshakespod as the handle for the YouTube channel. And anywhere else, including Twitter, we're also Milkshakes Pod. So that'll do it. Brent, thanks for sharing some of your madness and conspiracy theories. And everybody out there at the Milkshakes fam, we look forward to your comments on this. And we can't wait to hear your thoughts on all of the above. So we'll see you guys soon. I think I'm going mad. This show is provided for entertainment and informational purposes only. It should not be relied upon as legal, business, investment, or tax advice. Neither the hosts, guests, nor any funds they may manage intends to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies.